Shalom and welcome to today's installment of With All Your Heart, the Jewish woman's path to experiencing joy and fulfillment in love. This is your host, Hannah Deutsch from Absolutely Feminine, and I am so happy to have you join me today to learn practical tools for building a relationship full of connection and intimacy. I'm very much looking forward to introducing you to today's experts. Rachel Lazar is the founder and editor-in-chief of Nashim Magazine. Rachel, so excited to have you on today.
Hi, I'm so excited to be here.
Amazing. So, Rachel, please tell us a little bit about your journey of how did this come to be? How did you come to open this magazine, and what was it like getting to this process?
Okay. So, about a little over 2 years ago, I was like in my ninth month with my youngest daughter. Mm-hmm. And I realized that it had been a very long time since I was able to express myself in writing, which is something that I've always loved to do. And I had a lot to say. I found myself doing a lot of reflection, and I wanted to write and connect with other women about my experiences. And I was really looking for a platform to do that. And I had a very difficult time finding something that I felt was being, was exploring issues that real women were facing, and had essays that were very personal from the voices of the people who are going through them, who are writing them. And I started writing for, you know, maybe some local publications and some online things, but I really just felt like there really wasn't anything for women to connect to other women, and in a way that was very genuine. Mm-hmm. You know, you see a little bit of it on social media, but I felt like there really needed to be a platform of just like a place where women could go and connect to other people's struggles and just feel like they weren't alone. Yes. So I was discussing this with my husband. I really wanted to put my writing somewhere. I felt like I had a lot to offer people, and I didn't have anywhere to go. So my husband, he's like, just start your own. So I started laughing at him because I was like 9 months pregnant. I'm about to have a baby. I'm like, really? What does that mean, start your own? He's like, you know, send out some feelers, see if this is something that's just you or like really people will want this. So I did, and the response I got was so overwhelming. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna go with this. Mm-hmm. So I set up the just the groundwork before I had my baby, just to make sure that, you know, we had something in the works before I got lost in newbornhood. And then a few months after she was born, I got her off the ground. I started with our website. I think it was a good, like, 10 articles I started with. It was an amazing amount, and there was things coming in right away, like a lot of things. I already had my second issue pretty full by my first issue being released. There was just, people just wanted to be able to express themselves and talk about real issues that they were going through without, you know, feeling censored or judged or, mm-hmm. I don't know. It was just amazing. So, yes. Yeah, Baruch Hashem. And then, wow. I just, with that, throughout that year, it grew and it became really like a family. Like, the women would come here. It's a community. It's like people supporting each other. And it just felt like a very safe space. You could express yourself and you could, you know, talk about things a lot of times that got swept under the rug and in other places. And just, I don't know, it became really a big support community. People were speaking out about things that they weren't necessarily able to talk about before. And it was really just women finding themselves in other people's stories and being like, hey, I also am going through that. Or I did that. Here's some advice. Like, it was beautiful to watch. Wow. And then I also got a lot of people saying, why aren't you in print? like, I could really use this on Shabbos. I would love to sit down and just open this up. So after about a year, I started working very hard to figure out a way to get to print. And Baruch Hashem, it worked. last summer we went to print, and I was able to put out 6 issues. Then the current crisis hit, and my funding dried up. So I had to, over the last, you know, month or so, really think about the direction that I was going to take the magazine. And at this point, I think the best decision for the magazine was to back online for now. And everybody's been so supportive. So I mean, it's just been, it's again, it's, I feel like it's a family of growth, and everybody's kind of on the journey with me. So it, you know, obviously I was afraid to announce, like, I almost like thought like, oh no, we're taking a step backwards, but
right.
it really didn't end up feeling like that at all. Everybody's just been so supportive, you know, everybody's in the same boat right now. So yeah. I think it's just been, it's just, again, it's just another proof like that a supportive community really is so important. So this was the struggle that I'm dealing with now. And you know, I put myself out there to my readers. And again, the response was just so beautiful. So,
wow.
Yeah.
Amazing. I love the whole premise of the magazine. You know, a lot of the, even the way I've talked about this interview series and why I feel it's, I have felt it's so important to have it even now is because women feeling supported, women feeling that they are not alone, realizing
yeah.
that their struggles are so similar to other struggles, and the power that that has to help women move forward is astounding.
Yeah, I really believe that. I really think, I mean, that is really why this magazine is so powerful. Like, I mean, it's not, it has nothing to do with me anymore. Like, it snowballs. Like, I just feel like so many, it's therapeutic for the writers. It's
yeah.
therapeutic for the readers. Like, anytime that you feel isolated in your struggles, and that's, I mean, I think most women, whatever they're going through, kind of look around and see whatever face the rest of the world puts on, and they think to themselves, I'm the only one going through this. There's something wrong with me. And when they see that, no, other people are struggling, you know, people have been where you are. You're not the only one to go through this. Just that alone can get them like pushed out of the hole. Like, you know, it's, I think
yeah.
it's just so amazing when women can connect like that. And even just honestly, when I get articles in, almost every article I read, even if it has nothing to do with my life, I find myself in there somewhere. And I think most women can do that, looking, reading something and being like, even just a small point, and it just kind of just hits them, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's so important.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fascinating because, you know, we may think that, oh, if I know like that, the instinct might be to feel that if I know I'm not the only one dealing with it, I might say, oh, so it's normal, and like give up and like just accept it and not move forward. And yet it's actually feeling alone. I'm feeling like something's wrong with you, God forbid, feeling like everyone else has it together and you don't, everyone else is dealing with it and you're not, that makes you stagnant. It's like, you don't know even how to move forward, or you don't have the strength to move forward. And actually knowing that you're not alone, and you're not like, you're totally, you know, in your own way, normal, actually quite the opposite, gives you the strength to move forward.
Yeah, I've definitely seen that in many ways. Like, I get notes all the time from readers and from writers. I mean, the writers themselves are like, I really am just so glad I asked you to put this out there. I was afraid to do it. And the feedback that I've been getting has really strengthened me. And like, now I feel like I can move past this chapter or whatever. And readers also, the feedback that comes in, I just want to let this writer know that I also feel that way. I mean, there's been articles that I sometimes am afraid myself to publish. I'm like, this is really something that, I, you know, if I can't myself relate to it so much, I'm just sometimes afraid, like, you know, how much am I putting out here? I know this is so important for this writer to get this out here. I don't know how many people can relate. I'm wondering if this is, sometimes I think to myself, like, is this really the best decision? And I'm telling you, every single time, it's always those articles that get the feedback that it's like, I'm so glad you put this out here. Like, I never thought I would ever see an article about this, but I feel the same way. Please tell the writer, like, she is not alone. I'm with her. Like, the other way too. Like, it works the other way also.
Yeah.
So,
wow.
I mean, yeah.
That is amazing. Like, like you said, the community that's created
yeah.
through that. So, you know, and it really speaks to the reality that even the craziest things, like we may think in our minds, no one else is dealing with this, or no one else can relate to it. And yet it's all like, it's our own image. It's our own, like, it's our own belief. Really, even if somebody's not going through the exact same thing, and there probably are people going through the exact same thing, people can still relate in their own way through their own struggles.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it's funny because I knew that I had gone through a lot myself, and I knew that I had a lot to speak about and to connect with other people, but I didn't, there are the main things in your life. Like when you go back and look at things you've gone through, there's always a few things that stand out that are very big in your mind. So there's a whole underlying level of smaller things which you don't think about. And then other people, your small things might be someone else's big thing. And when they start writing about it or speaking about it, you're like, oh my gosh, I went through that also. And it really was a big thing. And I didn't think about it like that. And it kind of brings those things out. And it's almost like therapy, you know, like you're acknowledging other things you've gone through, which you didn't think were big deals at the time, or maybe you did, but it got pushed aside with other massive things. And it's just, and then I personally find myself speaking out about things in my own life that I never thought I would speak about, because I myself pushed them behind other things which I knew I was speaking about. So like I have found myself connecting to lots of people in different ways and just, you know, writing about things I never even thought that would be out there in the world, because I realized that, like, wow, there's a lot of other things I went through too. And I'm sure a lot of people are like that, you know, and they're just like, hey, I can speak about this and, you know, move past it and connect with other people because of it and help other people because of it. I never thought about that before. So it's just beautiful to watch.
Yeah, it's amazing. I see very similar things in my group programs where women end up getting to work through things that they never even thought to work through, or they never realized how much it affected them, because they hear other women work through it and they're like, oh, I totally relate to that. And the, like you said, that like the therapy or like the healing that goes on and the work, the growth that goes on is amazing when you are connected in that vulnerable way to other women and sharing in your struggles together.
Yeah, it's like a group therapy, exactly.
So I'd love to hear, you know, I don't, you know, necessarily want to, you know, I'm not asking you to get all like, what's the word, problematic here or whatever, but I'd love to hear from you, what are some of those issues that you found women most benefited or most like, we're able to work through by using this platform, by being able to write about it and share about it and read about it? What are some of those things that women are, you know, not expressing or not dealing with that really has such an amazing effect on them when they are able to process it in this way?
Oh my gosh, I get asked this question all the time, and I'm always like, all the topics go through my mind, and I'm like, which one do I want to bring up? There are so many. I think that one of the big ones is definitely anything dealing with motherhood. Like a lot of people won't admit how difficult it is for them. Yes. You know, if you go on social media and you see everybody's vacation photos, and I mean now especially, like here's my schedule. Here's the schedule of what I'm doing with my children. Mm-hmm. You know, we're having a grand old vacation time while the rest of the world is like high anxiety. It, you know, like it's very... So many of my writers have come forward and said, like, hey, guess what? Motherhood's difficult, and sometimes I suffer a lot, and I love my children. It doesn't take away my love for them, but this is really hard. Yeah. So that's definitely a good, you know, that's a, people are finally expressing how they really feel, and they're being validated.
Yes, and I love how you said it, because that, I think, is the most important point, is that I love my children, and... this is hard.
Right.
This is hard. And being able to, because so often if you talk about how hard it is, you're made to feel like as if you don't love your kids or as if something's wrong with you as a mother. And being able to
recognize mom guilt. We talk about mom guilt a lot.
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Wow.
So that's definitely one. Another for sure is anything having to do with infertility, whether it's, you know, primary infertility, secondary infertility, people, you know, who have been married, let's say a year, 2-3 years, and people are looking at them, judging them, like, where are your children? Like, so many things like that, or people commenting on other people's, the amount of kids they have. I just, a lot of it has to do with judgments of the community and just what the expectations and it, the silent struggle, the fact that it's not something people discuss. There's so many things involved with that. I mean, we've had articles from the whole range of topics having to do with that. That's a very big one also. Another one is probably body image. That's a very, very big one also. We have on our on my one of my regular columnists we have is a intuitive nutritionist. I'm registered nurse, so she talks about a lot of these things about how we have to be comfortable with our food choices. It's not about, you know, the way that the media or the community looks at us. I mean, we've had people write in also, but she discusses this a lot. A lot of that, you know, that will, it's, a lot of it has to do with expectations. I mean, I think all of these things all come from the same thing. What's expected of us? What are we looking at? Like the idealistic vision of the perfect woman, the perfect wife, the perfect mother, the perfect everything.
Yes.
And I think that a lot of this is just kind of popping those bubbles, you know?
Yeah.
Like I think that we've done a lot of reality checking this year, just making sure people are like, no, this is not realistic in all areas, really.
Yeah. Yeah. So. There's this image, I think, especially, I'm sure everywhere in the world, but we definitely have this in our community, of the religious community, of like looking up to the superwoman and thinking that we all have to be like her. We have to be a perfect mother, a perfect wife, perfect body, perfect everything, perfect house. Everything needs to be perfect. And then, you know, and then thinking that there are actually people who are achieving this. And when women, you know, can have that recognition, when we can have that understanding that there's no such thing as perfect. Everyone's doing their best. Everyone is letting go of something. It allows you to actually use your gifts and make your choices mindfully and let go of all that guilt of and all those expectations and frustrations that we put on ourselves, thinking that everyone else has it together and I'm the only one who doesn't, right?
Right. Yeah, we have a lot of articles that come in generally about being superwoman.
Yeah.
Like if you just search for the word superwoman on the website, then like a whole bunch of articles will pop up. And every single one of them is saying like, why are we called superwoman? You know, it's like, we don't need to be that.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's another thing. Self-care is another big one, and not just, you know, self-care, like, oh, well, you get a manicure later. It's really, I mean, we talk about this a lot about how important it is for our own mental health and for taking care of ourselves and others, you know, not pouring from an empty cup, you know, ways to really take care of ourselves. And we've had a lot of mental health professionals write articles for us, and a lot of just different kinds of the experts in different areas who really focus on different aspects of this and how we can really make sure we're taking care of ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
That's another big area.
Yeah, amazing. So what if I would take, if we want to take this specifically to a relationship place, what is something that you really have learned through your experience, through the articles and the comments and you know, through this community? What's something that you have really seen as an important message for women when it comes to their relationships?
So I think it goes along with like everything we've really been saying, that there's no one way to have a relationship. I think that, you know, you can stress different things, you know, communication and making sure you spend enough time together. There's all kinds of advice out there, practical advice, but I think when it really comes down to it, I think that it's really the underlying message, which is the important thing to keep in your mind, which is that as long as you're working to grow within, not just within your relationship, but also on yourself, that you're, you know, you're working to achieve self-fulfillment as well and become a whole person within yourself, I think that's a very big key, that, you know, it's important to know who you are, to always be striving to grow. And that kind of overflows and reflects out into your relationships.
Yes.
That I think that self-actualization, and I talk about self-actualization a lot. I think it's just not even just because the magazine articles I'm reading, but also because this whole process has been such a journey for myself.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like the magazine has helped me to self-actualize, and it's almost like woken me up also. I feel like you know, it's changed me and it's shaped who I am as well. And obviously, though, anytime you're changing, it's going to affect the people around you. And I think that's so important to make sure that you're always growing and changing, and that will always reflect in your relationships.
Yes.
Yeah, I think that just growth, I guess growth mode is what I would say.
Uh-huh.
You know, if you're always striving to keep that idea of change is inevitable, I have to learn how to go with the flow and kind of, you know, figure out the best path for me. And that it reflects in everything I'm doing. So I think that any relationship, whether it's being a mother or being a wife or friendship, everything, it's all affected by your own self-actualization.
Yeah. Wow. And really, like you said, this has really been a process for you, you know, putting this together and dealing with its ebb and flow and its process and what's going on now in the world and how that's affecting you. And doing it all with, you know, young children, right, at home is always going to make it an extra journey, right? An extra process, definitely. And yeah. I really resonate with you because my first interview series that I did 4 years ago was put out right after I gave birth to my youngest child. So I totally resonate in that.
That's like, something I've noticed this year. A lot of people do things right as they're having babies. I've noticed
this.
Yes.
So I'd love to hear, like, what, you know, if there's any tips you have for women who are looking to grow in their within themselves, grow in their work, grow in anything within them, and they feel like is now a good time? But you know, we know the reality is that if not now, when, right? It's never going to be a perfect time. And how did you? And it's a very personal question, but if you have any tips on like dealing with the, you know, that growth process in those, you know, within the challenge of being a mother, within the challenge of having, you know, whatever it is that we're dealing with in life, what did you find gave you that ability to keep going and do your own growth and the growth of your business as well?
Okay, so first I have to give you a little background.
Okay.
So first of all, the process is always evolving. I don't have like any, you know, perfect tips. I think that is the main thing that perfectionism that I feel,
yes,
like personally for me, I'm a very big type A, and I have so much on my plate, and I'm always trying to figure out how can I reorganize and restructure this to make this work better, and it's never perfect, and I'm always striving for that perfection. If I really sat and thought about this for a long time, losing the print is a very big deal for me as a person. I always wanted to hold that print magazine in my hand, and I accomplished it, but not fully, because it wasn't all the way there, because it wasn't, you know, well-established enough that I could keep it. In my head, I have to remind myself that perfectionism of like, this is the absolute dream is not necessarily what's best for me. And so going back a little bit, my background is that I've actually been homeschooling my children for 9 years. My oldest is 13 and my youngest is now 2, as old as the magazine. I always say I had twins. So, that, and also my husband and I both work out of our houses, out of our house. My husband is traveling and going to different businesses a lot, but he's in and out of the house all day. And with everything going on with Nushim and just in general, I'm also in and out of the house all day. So it's definitely been a crazy ride trying to organize. I didn't work all those years. I literally just homeschooled my children. So like figuring out a balance to grow the magazine. And when I started, I guess I didn't realize that I was starting something so big. Like, again, it was an idea. We're like, let's see how much people want this and whatever. When I started, it was slow. And then it just kind of took off. And all of a sudden, I had to restructure everything. I'm like, oh my gosh, the kids and this and that. I had to get some help in the house with the little ones. You know, I had to get some cleaning help. I had to get a nanny in. And it was, I mean, that itself is not ever the smooth way you expect it. We went through a lot of nannies. And there was points in time where I had deadlines and the nanny didn't show up, and oh my goodness, what am I going to do? And I think it was just a lot of, I kind of had to learn how to be flexible and realize that it's the perfectionism and the way that I want, let's say, the magazine to be, the layout and this and that, all the things that, you know, I'm noticing. My husband's like, nobody else will notice it.
Right.
It is just you. And I think I really had to learn to step out of my own head and stop pushing my perfectionism on everything. Because when you're being such a perfectionist with the product or with yourself, that perfectionism is also being pushed on everyone around you. Yes. You know, like I, because I'm so busy right now, I expected my older ones to make sure they're taking care of the little ones in this specific way. Mm-hmm. I don't want to hear any noise right now. I'm really, really busy. Yes. Like, keep the kids out of my office, you know, or like, but, you know, they're kids too, and they can't necessarily, you know, they get distracted themselves or whatever it is. The point is that, like, that feeling of, like, you know, everything has to be a certain way. I learned how to be a lot more flexible. And when I saw that things weren't working, I, you know, my husband would be like, look, something has to change in this specific area. Life has changed, obviously. You have to change with it. And he kept reminding me, like, let's get a little more flexible here. And it was really hard for me. It really, really was.
Yes.
Even just now, even with this print and with, you know, the whole entire world is on hold right now. And a lot of people are suffering in different ways. I would say, like, everybody's suffering really in different ways. And, you know, I had to really think, like, what was best here? And this was very, this dream was very difficult for me to let go of. But I really worked hard on putting my mindset in pivot mode. I'm like, I can do this. This is something, this is not the way I expected it to be, but it's what has to happen now. And I really, really think I made the absolute best decision, but it took me a very, very long time to be okay with that, even though I knew it was the best decision. Mm-hmm. So I think that this entire journey really just has been learning how to, I guess, learning how to pivot from top to bottom, like just learning to, I mean, I think that, you know, you're asking me, like, what can we do for ourselves along this journey? I really think that we just have to kind of learn how to let go and let God. That was one of the mm-hmm. articles that came in. I really love that title. It's a lot, most of the time, not like every time really, even when we think it's in our hands, it's really not.
Yeah.
And even if things look like they're going the way we expected them, that's the way the Hashem wanted it to be. So if we're at this place where, like, this is not happening, we have to just be flexible. We have to kind of just, you know, and that can work in any, in relationships as well. You know, if something isn't working, let's try something else. Yeah. And it can't just be, I mean, obviously if you do it, you know, like just physically do it and it's not in your head yet, eventually it will become part of you, obviously. But I think that working on that mindset of really just letting go is so important. And I'm not saying I'm there yet. I'm definitely not, because I'm still a perfectionist. But I'm working very, very hard on it. And I've really learned a lot in the process. I've seen so many twists and turns in this entire journey that I never would have expected, good and bad. And I've learned a tremendous amount. So growth patterns always.
Wow. Wow. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I think it's such an important point, and you said it so beautifully, how, like, so much of it is recognizing that we can't have everything perfect, because even if you would take the time to make everything perfect in the magazine, you'd end up giving up that, you know, the perfection of how you're being to your kids. And if you're perfect, you know, like,
right.
There's no such thing as true perfectionism. And that's where that, like you said, that flexibility and that being able to pivot, being able to let go is really the key to our success in life, right? We think that, like, oh, we have to do it perfectly. We have to do everything perfectly. And yet so much of it is being able, we're really balancing so much and being able
right.
to recognize that balance, like balancing your desire for the magazine versus, you know, your desire to be able to flow and recognize what's going on in today's world and where what's best for the mags. Like, there's so much that we have to balance, and it's the only way we'll be able to do that is by being able to let go of that perfectionism and being like being in that pivot flowing mode. So, like, thank you for sharing that so vulnerably. It sounds like just what your magazine is all about. So thank you. It's really great.
I try and make sure that, you know, all the people who are sharing the magazine are getting very vulnerable and putting themselves out there. And I think that, you know, that's what makes it so special, that women can really connect, because when people are being authentic and vulnerable, you know, that's what brings people in. That's where they really feel that connection. But I have to make sure that, you know, that I'm being that way too, that I'm living that also, you know, because it's really reminded me that's, you know, I've let go of a lot of the mask that we all wear to the outside world. I've learned to let go of that. So that's part of the perfectionism also, you know, putting yourself in a way that like everything is perfect. And we're, you know, anything, let's say on my Facebook page, posting pictures of like what homeschooling we did today. And like, look at what my kids are learning. And I'm like, yesterday we did nothing. That's not going up there, you know?
Right.
I think I've learned myself a lot this year about, you know, it's really accepting that life is not perfect, and that's okay to, you know, express that to people, because that's how people relate to you. That's what it means to be a real person. So I've learned a lot myself about authenticity.
Amazing. And I'll just make the important point that it's true, the same thing in our relationships, right? That it's our authenticity and our vulnerability, not just with our friends and not just with in our communities, but also with our husbands and even our kids, that in certain ways that allows us to connect to them as well. And you know, that vulnerability and that authenticity is just, it's just so beautiful, and it's so connecting, just like you said. It's a connection. That's how we can connect to people, because they get it. They feel it too. It's real. It's real.
Yeah.
And that allows us to really be connected and to build together and grow together. Well, thank you so much for sharing that. And I know you're saying that your magazine is now online, and what I understand is that you're offering it as a gift to, at this point, it is a gift that women can check out, right? Would you like to talk about that and share how they can see more about this amazing magazine?
Sure. So it's at nushimmagazine.com. That's two M's in the middle, Nushim, and then magazine separate.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we're putting out, so the articles that are up there right now were from the Pesach issue, which is the last print issue that went out. But I, again, I've had a lot of, I needed time to adjust and to kind of, you know, come to terms with everything, that all the changes that have been made in the last 2 weeks. I haven't been doing any new articles yet, but I've got myself in this mindset that I'm ready to start working again. So hopefully within the next, I'm going to give myself a longer goal. Let's say 2 weeks. Hopefully we'll be starting to put out new articles. I have a lot of articles that came in about, being quarantined and what it's been like for everybody in different areas. You know, there's all kinds of different angles to look at it. You know, people who are in their houses by themselves, or women who are trying to figure out how to get to the mikvah on time, and like just so many things, that so many areas that people are struggling. So a lot of those have been coming in, and I think that those are extremely important, again, for people to relate and be, you know, we're stuck in our houses. Are we the only ones going through these different aspects of what's going on right now? So those will be coming out soon. You can sign up for the newsletter. If you go to the homepage and after every article, there's a place to sign up to be alerted for, like, every, it goes out once a week. It's a newsletter telling everybody which new articles are up on the website that week. So that's going to be the model for now. And it's free and open to everyone.
Amazing. And I'll just make the public service announcement that at the time that this interview airs, those new articles may already be up already. So go ahead and check it out. And Rachel, I really want to thank you so much for everything that you've shared with us, your time, your expertise, your vulnerability, your authenticity. It's beautiful. And I know that women can really connect and learn so much from it. So really thank you for everything you've shared with us today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Pleasure. And to all of our listeners, I want to thank you for joining us. Kol hakavod for taking the time for yourself and your relationship to listen today. And until tomorrow, may we all be blessed to live, love, and be loved with all our hearts. Shalom.